Welcome to a Nerdsign episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. And I lost my co-host. Where did he go? Anyway, I'm your host, Tim Theo Double G. And he's back.
Ah!
I'll do the intro over.
This is live, folks. This is live.
And welcome to another episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay! Yay! Here we go.
Yeah. And I am the host, Tim DLGG. And hopefully he'll stay around this time. Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? That was not an unplanned secret mission. That was literally just me hitting the wrong button and disconnecting.
I'm always pretty scared of doing funny. That. Especially when I, go to mute my microphone.
And you missed the button. Yep.
Yeah. Like, please don't hit disconnect. But yeah,
that's pretty much what I did.
it's probably gonna be the two of us tonight because Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com is busy sorting comic books for his comic book store. They got their weekly comic books a day late because of the snowstorm up in the Illinois area. And Roddy Cat is probably at work right now. Hopefully he'll tune in a little later. Want to say shout outs to him. Follow him on Twitter at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And of course, go to theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
Don't forget to hashtag us, hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on Twitter.
And if you do subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, make sure to leave us good reviews and comments. Help us move up those rankings. And we want to remind you that we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just make sure to go to theclicknation.com and you'll see the post go up an hour or so before the show with the YouTube video embedded so you can watch along.
Yay!
All right, let's see what news we have to discuss this week. First bit of news, actually down here in Georgia last week in Atlanta was the Comic Pro comic book conference, I guess for retailers and the different comic book companies. And Image Comics, Eric Stevenson received an award at the conference, and he gave this nice speech where basically, like, sort of patted himself on the back and said how Image is awesome and doing everything right in comic books, and the other companies need to follow suit. Some people liked it, some people didn't.
Interesting.
Some people agreed with his statements. Some of the controversial stuff he said, just off the top of my memory, were how, like, the Star Wars and Transformers books weren't real comics.
That's a tough one.
And there should be less superhero comics. And that might have been early in the week, or it might have been how everything happens on a Friday after we recorded.
Right.
But not too long after, I guess, the conference was over, I think Bleeding Cool, one of the websites that got a chance to interview the Dark Horse and IDW head guys to get their opinions. And of course, they backed their companies and disagreed with a lot of what Eric had said.
No kidding.
But that's always interesting when, and a lot of the stuff I agree with that Stevenson said, like with the, less comic book events and crossovers, focus less on that, and gimmick covers.
Right. I mean, I think that's a pretty popular, opinion amongst most readers, especially the regulars who've been around for a while. They're kind of tired. What is it? An event. They've grown weary. Exactly. Event fatigue. They've grown weary of these events. And, I think our wallets have too.
And it's funny, someone, I forget what site it was, mentioned, brought up the fact that, I think it's actually was one, the Dark Horse or IDW guys, brought up the fact how, Stevenson was sort of bad-mouthing gimmick covers when Image does the same thing with, thousands of variant covers.
Sure. They're all guilty of it right now because they know it sells.
Yeah. I believe Stevenson said something like, stop producing the gimmick covers and fans will stop buying them or something to that effect.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
So.
You give the people a reason to collect, they'll collect. To me, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You throw out those variant covers, then that, the collector's urge all of a sudden jumps in.
Gotta have it.
Yep. Gotta have it. I want it. Gotta have it.
Next news item was the announcement of, I guess, the final chapter in the Batman Arkham video game series, supposedly. Until they decide that they can keep making money off this thing and they keep making more and more games.
Exactly. That is why I hit the cash register first.
But the new game will be called Batman Arkham Knight.
Okay.
And they released a trailer online for it. And I guess the big item takeaway is you get to be the Batmobile, go get to ride around the Batmobile.
No kidding. That's kind of cool. It's different for this, for these Arkham City, Arkham Asylum type games where you're just Batman or Catwoman running around. So That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I still have to finish Batman Arkham City.
That was the second one, right?
Yeah. Wasn't there a third one already?
I think there was a third one already. I missed it. I haven't played it since Arkham City, I think. The one where you can play as Catwoman.
Yeah. And I guess this one, if you pre-order, you get to play as, or you get Harley Quinn.
Yeah, they have to keep adding these characters on as playable characters to keep interest up.
Okay. Next up, this is courtesy of Dirt. He's forwarded this email to me early in the week regarding some changes to Batgirl 38. So
30?
Yeah, 30, not 38. So originally, Gail Simone was going to write Batman 30, but Margaret Bennett is going to take over writing 30, and I think Gail Simone is writing 31 now.
I don't know if I should click drama or not. I did.
Yeah, I thought it was drama too, but Blee and Cool kind of wrote it off as maybe like they had to shuffle some stuff around, and like 30 is kind of a, they might turn 30 into like a standalone issue.
Okay.
At least that's their thought.
Yeah, that's their excuse or their reasoning.
But she keeps getting more projects along with the one-offs for Lois Lane and Joker's Daughter.
Right.
Eventually she'll get her own series, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if she took over Catwoman.
Bennett?
With her higher profile coming because of the Batman Eternal.
Right.
And her development in that.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Sure.
Let's see. Sad news for me at least, because I've been enjoying this book, but I kind of knew this day was coming eventually. Hey. So Marvel's named a new writer for Thunderbolts.
Yep.
No longer will it be Charles Soule.
The overworked Charles Soule.
Yeah. Let me click the link so I can actually read the name of the... It's a duo taking over. And they did the Thunderbolts annual, I guess, last year. Come on, link open. Okay, so...
Marvel names new Thunderbolts writing team.
Ben Acker and Ben Blacker.
No pun intended.
The positive is that Carlo Barbieri will still be doing the art.
That's cool.
Yeah. He was great on the Ghost Rider arc.
That is cool. So I'm glad to see that Charles Soule is letting other people have an opportunity to write some comics nowadays.
Spreading the wealth. You just knew that schedule wasn't gonna work.
Sure, especially now that he's picked up what is it, Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
So something had to go by the wayside.
But I'll give the new incoming team a try. I've been enjoying it at least so far.
Yeah, it's a quirky mix of characters, and that's the that's the beauty of the story. So, it's kind of a weird chemistry.
So Roddycat lets us know that there was an Arkham Origins game, a couple, which was a prequel to Asylum games made by a different team.
Right.
That doesn't count, does it?
I think it does count. It's the same, kind of look. Running around in the Arkham universe.
Ah. Okay.
All right. I see here some good news for the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles.
What's that?
Well, the next item on the list.
Oh. Okay. Let's see what it is. Oh, yeah. So I listened to another podcast last week, and they brought up how there's a website called Comic Book Roundup where they sort of take people's other companies' comic book reviews and sort of give like a ranking system where they'll list everyone's rankings and sort of give you like a nice average of what the reviewing public is thinking of a book. And on their about page, they said, if you want your reviews to show up, just email us here and let us know. Like, okay, I'll do that. So I sent them an email, told them who I was, and asked if our reviews could be up on the added to their site. And they promptly emailed me back and said that they could do that, and our reviews should show up on their website within like an hour or so of going live. So. Shout out to comicbookroundup.com and also to comicrelated.com, who also hosts our podcast on their site.
Shout out to you guys. Thanks for everything.
Yep. Okay. And last but not least, Comixology was hacked.
Boo.
Change your passwords, people.
Yes, get out there and change them. If you didn't get that email this morning, check your email. Make sure you have the right email address, that's hooked up to your Comixology account, because you got to get in there and change it. I got the email this morning.
Yeah. And supposedly that no credit card information was stolen. Whoever got access to their server just got access to passwords and emails and things of that nature.
Right. So get out there and change it, and change it on your all your devices too.
Yeah, I gotta do that.
Just real quick, I was just looking at some of our friendly comic sites, and I noticed that the first Sin City trailer has dropped. a Dame to Kill For.
Oh, they also offering like the eyes, something with eyes.
Oh yes, for the new Marvel, the original Sin event. Is that what it's called?
Original Sin is the event, but they're offering like
plastic eyes.
Yeah, the Watcher eyes.
That's kind of creepy. I did see that. Did see that. That is kind of creepy. Let's see if there's anything else here. Are you kind of hyped for Captain America: The Winter Soldier dropping? Because there's been a lot of stuff, you know, previews and articles and interviews dropping online to kind of build up momentum for the movie, which is dropping now, less than a month away.
Yep, it's coming.
And I'm excited. Like I said, it's you know, I'm pretty jazzed.
Yep.
I'm pretty jazzed.
Less than a month away. Looking forward to it. Oh, yeah, and absolutely. I guess I should mention that later this month I should be attending a comic book convention here in Georgia. It's a very small one, but they're going to have Mark Bagley as the special honoree guest.
No kidding. That's cool. Get your stuff ready to get signed.
I think it's called the Middle Georgia Comic Convention. It's called.
Is it from Georgia?
I doubt it.
Oh,
I'm not even sure how they pulled them. There's some other kind of big names there. Justin Jordan is supposed to be there, and Dexter Vines, and he's
what
an
is it
inker.
Called? The Middle Georgia.
Hold on, let me.
So you should post a link, and then we can all look at it. Middle Georgia.
MGACon.com is the website.
MGACon.com.
March 15th and 16th in Macon, Georgia.
Nice. How far away is that from
it's an hour and a half.
The dog house.
That's my old stomping ground, so that's an hour and a half away. It's where Adam Black is, and I'll be going with him. And
nice.
Maybe Mr. Banff. For those nice. Who listen to the comic book, the Click Nation podcast. So let me see, guests. Click on that.
Yeah, Andy Smith, Mark Bagley, Andy Smith, Ben McCool, Bo Hampton, Brian Stelfreeze is cool, Bud Root, Colleen Duran, she's cool, Craig Gilmore, Craig Hamilton, Dan Jolly, Daniel Way, Dexter Vines. Met him a couple of times. Eric Layton, Francesco Francavilla.
That's a big name.
Yeah. Frank Bedore, Heidi McDonald from The Beat.
Oh, okay.
Jamal Igel. He's a big name.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
James E. Lyle, James Pruitt, Joseph Lindner. If you're into Dawn, Joe Pruitt, J.R. Mounts. Wow, I'm going through this whole thing. Look at all these people. There's a whole bunch of people I'm just skipping over right now.
Wow. Yeah, but they, you keep skipping until you get to, like, I guess, sort of known names.
Yeah, Mike McComb.
Yeah, Mike McComb. Justin Jordan.
Sam Ketchumy. Wow, this is actually a pretty good list. I mean, you know what it is? It's definitely diverse.
Yeah.
And
lots of women and men.
Sure. That's cool. That is cool. Bring a, you know, like, bring some dough to get sketches.
Yeah, I do need more artwork for the house.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, buy some prints. That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan. And, you know, as a quick update, Agent_70 has not yet bought tickets to the new show whose name I can't even recall at this point. That's being run by Reed Pop. But hopefully we'll soon. Hopefully we'll soon.
And Roddy Cat brings up about Boom making a Big Trouble in Little China comic book.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And also, they added Paul Levitz to their, was it board of directors or something like that?
I believe so.
Yeah,
because they have missed that particular.
He had signed an exclusive deal with them last year, and I think this week they announced he had got that they bumped him up to some big status.
Okay.
So, and he also asked that we talk about Avengers AI being canceled, but I hadn't seen that news.
I did see. I saw that and forgot to make note of it.
Ah, so it is canceled. Yep, kind of couldn't see that coming. I've been paying attention to the sales numbers month by month whenever those are released, and it's been kind of down there.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's rumors of that Avengers AI ending in like a Ant-Man series taking its place to
sure,
get ready
lay the,
movie.
Yeah, that's right. Lay the groundwork for that. They have to.
And Sam Humphries has that exclusive Marvel deal, so he's not going anywhere. You know, I have to admit, I haven't really been enjoying his comics. Because Uncanny X-Force was kind of meh to me. And Avengers AI actually started out meh to me, but I've actually been reading like the last three issues, and I'm kind of into it now.
Okay.
Of course, right when it gets near the end.
Sure.
All right.
That's the way it goes. All right, let's see if there's any other news before we move into the juicy stuff.
Yeah, that's enough. No need to go searching around for news.
Yeah. Oh, I did see something here. I thought it was kind of funny. So, post-Academy Awards, right? This is actually news slash funny story before we jump into reviews. Post-Academy Awards, you know that the nominated movies, the ones at least nominated for Best Picture, you would expect to receive a bump in like rentals or video sales or on-demand sales and DVD and Blu-ray sales, right? So I see a story today that kind of ties into my own personal experience. I was looking for a copy of Thor: The Dark World on Blu-ray the other night. Mm-hmm. Walk into a 24-hour Best Buy at Union Square in New York City. What happened? They're sold out. They got tons of copies of Gravity and tons of copies of some of the other, you know, Oscar-nominated movies, but Thor: The Dark World, gone. I'm like, it's been out for a week. Y'all don't have any more, really?
I actually watched it last weekend at our discount theater.
For the first time?
Second time.
Second time, okay.
And actually enjoyed it more.
The second time around?
Yeah.
You catch some of the Easter eggs, right? Some of the small things.
Or just kind of enjoyed it a little more because I was actually on vacation when I watched it the first time. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. But yeah, you know, there's a story on Newsarama that says Thor defies gravity in Blu-ray sales. So, you know, despite the fact that Gravity won all these awards and Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón at the Oscars, Thor beats it in Blu-ray sales. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Anyway, so that's that for news, I think. Oh, you got something else?
Well, just gonna bring up how awesome Arrow is again.
Oh, nice.
Got a whole kind of Deathstroke centric episode this week.
Nice. I did not catch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back off hiatus, so boo for me.
That was kind of. They're advancing stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., at least you can say that much.
That's good. Sif, I know our man Eclectic is not a fan.
Sif joined guest stars next week.
Nice.
Lorelei appeared at the after credit scene this past week.
Speaking of Lorelei, who makes an appearance in one of our books this week?
What about her?
She makes an appearance in one of our books. It's one of the books that came out.
Oh, one of your books. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to that. So, I guess you want to start off with Loki Agents of Asgard number 2?
This was, let me say, this was a really quirky, interesting issue. It definitely delves into some of Loki's past and what this version of Loki can remember of his past. It's really, you know, I give, who is the creative team on this? I want to say it's Cullen Bunn and somebody else, but I don't want to misquote. Give me one second to pull this up. And hold on. This week's books. There's so many of them. It's crazy. Loki. Agent of Asgard number 2. There's a cool, while I'm pulling this up to get the credits. Oh, no, wait. What am I saying? Cullen Bunn. I'm mistaken for somebody else, for another book. This is I want to say it's Al Ewing.
Al Ewing.
Yes. This is actually the book is very smartly written. There's a cool speed dating aspect to this book, and they introduce a new character who, spoiler alert, ding 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 ding. They introduce a new character who is probably going to be a potential love interest for Loki, and her cool quirk slash power is that she can't be lied to. And what is Loki's, you know, chief weapon as the god of mischief? Lies and deceit. So it's kind of interesting to see how this is going to play out. And speaking of Lorelei, the younger sister of Amora the Enchantress, she's I guess, the antagonist, or at least one of the main antagonists in this issue. So it's interesting to see her introduced just as the character is about to make an appearance on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some cross-pollination there, people. Nice. This is, you know, like I said, this was a very interesting read. It read very well. This is definitely up there for consideration for Click of the Week for me. Believe it or not, first book right off the top.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I'm starting to enjoy Al Ewing a little more because, I don't know, all it took was Greg Land being off of Mighty Avengers for an arc and Valerio Schitti, or how you say his last name, coming on, and that book just like did a
180.
Yeah, a whole 180. Definitely enjoying it now. So
understood.
And Loki issue one was fun.
Yeah, I definitely would say read number two. This is actually a pretty fun read.
Yeah, it looked like it. Okay, let me pick one. What did I read? I guess I'll start with the book I reviewed, Starlight Number One from Image Comics.
Okay.
By Mark Millar and Goran.
Ivanisevic? No, I'm kidding.
Like Parlov or.
Goran Ivanisevic was a tennis player.
But it's sort of a sci-fi book in the same vein as is it Buck Rogers or
Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
I'm thinking that's not the right comparison. Not Johnny Quest, but who was like 80s sci-fi guy that went on adventures in space? Maybe just Buck Rogers.
Space Ghost! Don't get me.
But so basically it's starring a character named Duke, who's I think a former pilot or he was in the military.
Maybe he's like Battlestar Galactica?
Not Battlestar, but somehow he gets whisked away to help save an alien race.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely Buck Rogers.
Yeah, he gets all like awards, or he gets his glory, and the queen asks him to stay, but you know he has to get back to his family and back to Earth. And as we find out throughout the book does a lot of like time jumping back to his past during his alien adventures and back to him on Earth, and sort of like contrasting how stuff's changed besides him just being older in the present than in the past. But, you know, he was a hero off planet, but on planet, he's kind of a joke. As you see, like, newspaper clippings of, like, people doubting his story and not believing, thinking he's some crackpot who thinks he went out, off into outer space. And then he's dealing with stuff with his family and whatnot. And at the end of the issue, you sort of see where he could possibly be whisked away again to go on more adventures. But I gave it a 5 out of 5.
No kidding.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's like I said, the review, it didn't try to recreate the wheel or anything. It was nice, simple, yet effective story.
Okay.
And the writing was nice. The art style kind of fit sort of the sci-fi adventure vibe that the book will have going forward. And Mark Millar even posted a link on his Miller World, whatever he calls it, forum site.
Millar World?
Millar World. Along with the other I guess he like compiled a couple of sites that gave 5-star reviews, which ours was on the list. So that was Starlight number one. And we also had Jupiter's Legacy, I think number four, finally come out. Four or five. Jupiter's Legacy number four came out, but I haven't read that yet.
Hmm.
Seems like it was so long ago that the series started.
Right. I remember reading one and two. I don't remember reading three. I can't believe it's just now getting to four.
Yeah. It started off, had momentum starting off, but then like such a long delay.
Definitely killed it.
What do you want to bring up next?
Let's jump to Moon Knight number one. Did you read this? You did read this, right?
I did. A book maybe people were waiting in anticipation to read.
Right, and there definitely was a kind of a cool twist on the Moon Knight story. It definitely does not shy away from what has happened and what's in the past of the character. It includes everything, even up to the whole, you know, dissociative
personality
disorder / schizophrenia.
They call it DIP, I think.
Yes. So, you know, this includes everything up until now, incorporates it, and kind of creates this new iteration, this new version of Moon Knight, which is kind of slick, but at the same time, it's still, you know, very much superhero-y. The book, you know, the premise of the book is that Moon Knight has now become sort of an active PI / investigative type that helps out police. And, you know, he's kind of walking the fine line between sane and insane. You know, he's got, I think a therapist, but there's something going on with the therapist and it's kind of confusing. And I think it'll be, it'll be touched on and expanded upon in issues to follow, whether or not, you know, Moon Knight is actually, you know, closer to sane than not. So I actually enjoyed this issue. It's definitely interesting. There's definitely some stuff going on to make you come back for a second issue, especially, you know, once they start delving into the inner workings of Mark Spector's mind right at the end of the issue. So, I definitely would recommend this book for someone. You know, you don't have to have known much about Moon Knight at all coming into this book.
Are you familiar with Moon Knight?
Somewhat. I definitely have, you know, I definitely know more about Moon Knight from his entries in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. You know what I mean? But I definitely read some of the books, some of the issues of the 90s series and some of the issues from the more recent series. Not so much the one where he went crazy. Well, he thought he was Wolverine, Spidey, and Cap, I think. I didn't read much of that one.
That police detective that knew Moon Knight, is he someone from a previous series?
I could not tell you for sure.
Okay. I was wondering that.
What did you think of the book?
I enjoyed it. The art was nice. I know everyone's kind of hyping up Declan Shalvey and Jordi Belair, the artist and colorist.
Right.
And the story was kind of – the only thing that kind of confused me was the last couple pages where Mark Spector goes back to his house and I don't know if he's seeing things.
That, yeah, we're going into his mind. Like I said, that's what's interesting because –
that confused me. But the rest of it was – it was kind of a clear-cut story. They touched on, like I said, everything concerning Moon Knight, gave kind of simple explanation for the different personality disorder.
Right.
Ellis kind of wrote it off and got rid of it in a way.
Well, he may bring it back in a different way, though. You know, yeah. Especially with, you know, it looks like Khonshu, the Egyptian god, coming and kind of establishing himself as a player, spoiler alert.
All right.
or some sort of influence, you know, major influence on Mark Spector. So we'll see where issue number two goes. But like I said, you know, it's those last few pages that kind of create the intrigue necessary to bring you back for issue number two. Because, you know, the first part of the book is really kind of a procedural, right? It's almost like an episode of
Law and Order.
Yeah, Law and Order, NCIS, something like that. And, you know, it's an investigation, and it kind of culminates at the, you know, with the capture. So it's the last few pages that really kind of, you know, kind of make you want to come back for the second page, for the second issue.
Okay. I guess we can stay on Marvel with, let's go to Magneto number one.
Ooh.
I enjoyed this as well.
Yeah, this was a different tone for Magneto than we've seen in a long time.
It seemed like another kind of procedural, like another like NBC SUV, you know, Law and Order SUV type.
Or like a person, book. Yeah, person of interest, or, you know, one of those types of shows. You're right.
Because it sort of followed Magneto around as he, I guess, is sort of trying to go back and get at people who have done mutants wrong.
Right.
And you're in his head and, you know, traveling along with him as he travels the country and has to stay.
Drive around. Yeah. He has to drive around because his powers are still screwed up after whatchamacallit, the Phoenix Force.
Yeah. And he has to stay one step ahead of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm trying to remember how the issue ended. And then we fought the one villain or threat.
Right. Oh,
was it a cliffhanger?
It's sort of. I mean, he fights the threat, and then he discovers that the threat wasn't doing it of his own free will.
Oh, that's
and
right.
That's what he discovers. Right. He discovers that, you know, this threat that pops up is produced by something else, and he's given a source or a place to go investigate where this threat is being built or coming from, and that's where the issue ends.
Okay. But that's written by Cullen Bunn. And
that's the book that I thought was – that's Cullen Bunn's book this week.
Yeah. Let me get the artist name. I think it's like Gabriel – let's see. Where is he?
Walter?
Yeah. So that, geez, they put the credits at the end of the book.
Gabriel Hernandez Walter.
Walter.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting read. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of graphic at the beginning. There's a couple of, there's kind of a graphic scene right at the beginning, and I'm like, wow, that was a kind of a shock to my system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of, you know, I was fairly surprised to see it, something like that. You know, I know this is a miniseries, and I don't think they mean to completely establish Magneto as a villain, but I kind of think that they want to establish him not so much as like the traditional X-Men.
They kind of just want to establish him as kind of a badass.
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to pick a book?
All right, let me see. Let me consult my list. How about... She-Hulk number two.
Okay. I will say I didn't enjoy this one as much as the first issue.
I think this issue suffered from too much Hellcat.
Yeah, that was my... She was annoying.
Yeah, just a little.
And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Absolutely. I was just kind of put off by the whole thing.
I wish I knew who the... That one, I guess, former mutant that lost their powers that showed up. I'm not sure who that was.
Hold on, let me see.
And I should know my mutants.
Let's see.
The black girl.
Sharon King?
Yeah. Who is that?
She used to be a mutant?
I think she said in the book that she lost her powers Yeah, she's the owner of the building, and She-Hulk asked her why. Is she the only person that like has no problem renting a building out to people with powers? And
oh,
she's
yeah,
like,
she went to Xavier's.
yeah.
I see that. I see that. I see that. I missed that. I must have breeze-dried past it.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you know what? I think they just tossed, you know, I think Soul just kind of added that in as a way for her to relate to someone else that's superpowered, because it says here that it says in the book that she had minor powers and that she was a student at Xavier's, but then after M Day, you know, she lost her powers, so now she's sort of back to living a real life.
Living the life.
Yep, yep, yep. Interesting, interesting. Yep.
But
I like the book other than the Hellcat stuff. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. The art was nice. I know some people are kind of like iffy on the art because it is kind of the whole indie-ish style book style that Marvel's kind of given these solo books.
Right. No, I can agree with that. It's not my cup of tea per se, but I think it fits because this is not the average superhero book.
Yeah, it definitely fits.
You know, I just think it fits, and I like the last reveal on the last page, the cliffhanger. I thought this was a pretty good cliffhanger. I'm not going to spoil it.
If you've read any of Soul's interviews regarding the book, then you'll know who and what is coming up next and the next issue.
Right. But if you haven't, read this kind of, you know, I hate to say this. I really do hate to say this, kind of skim through the Hellcat stuff because it's just sort of there. But I thought the beginning and I thought the end of the book were pretty strong.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I guess we can do Forever Evil.
Yeah, we've been avoiding it, right? We're just like, no, we're not talking DC.
We were kind of on a Marvel roll, so I wanted to get a couple of those out the way.
Gotcha. All right, let us pull up Forever Evil number 6 and dig into it. There's a lot of stuff going on in here.
Yeah.
How many issues is this supposed to be?
There's one more issue left.
Wow, they crammed a crap load of stuff into this.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the reason they crammed everything in this issue.
Jeez. There's only one more left.
That's kind of one problem I had with it.
Yeah.
And then there's still so much that has to be resolved.
Agreed. Between,
I guess, Justice League of America and Justice League and next month's issue 7 or Forever, Forever Evil.
Right. What makes them move to Canada?
Because, like, the heroes, as far as I know, still haven't been, though the Justice Leagues haven't been brought back from whatever dream state they're in. I'm assuming they're still in the dream state because I stopped reading JLA.
Same.
But the Injustice League, led by Batman and Lex Luthor, infiltrate the Fallen Watchtower, which is in Happy Harbor. Go figure.
Hmm.
And they fight the crime syndicate, and I guess we find out Nightwing's hooked up to a murder machine.
Yeah, longtime fans. Yeah, longtime fans might remember that or recognize that. I'm not a big enough DC fan to have recognized that. I'm like, they call it the murder machine, really?
Yeah, wasn't familiar with it either. But I guess it's rigged to the.
Spoiler alert!
Oh yeah, tons of spoiler alerts. It's rigged to the power supply of the watchtower. So if you like try to take Nightwing out of the murder machine, it'll set off basically an explosion.
Right.
But the only way to not cause the explosion is to kill Nightwing, basically.
Right.
So there's stuff with that. I guess that's all I'll say.
Right.
Led you up to the cliff.
Right. There's a couple of interesting scenes in this. again, you know, speaking of, you know, kind of harkening back to what I was talking about with Magneto, there's kind of a graphic, even though they don't show it. I was like, wow, Black Manta's kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What just happened?
They couldn't do all that against Aquaman.
Right. I'm like, wait, what just, I literally stopped myself and said, what just happened?
But yeah, so yeah, a lot going on there, and some stuff, you know, the crime syndicate loses a couple more members.
Right. And, you know, the Injustice League and the Crime Syndicate are doing battle, and we finally find out, as we see the Snuggie make an appearance, we finally find out who the secret character is that was transported over from the Crime Syndicate Earth. And did you have any idea who it might be? Did you care at this point?
That was one of the possibilities, I'll say.
Right. I can definitely tell you I did not care at this point. I was like, okay.
But and then they added a twist to it, I guess you could say.
Right. They definitely did add a twist to it.
So yeah, just one more issue to go.
Right. And if you're reading this now, if this is the first issue that you read of this entire series, and all you do is read the recap, you probably got enough of the story, to be perfectly honest. I don't think you needed to read the first 5 issues.
Yeah, I could tell I'm going to be mad the way Forever Evil ends and sets the stage for the next phase of the Marvel Universe.
Oh, DC Universe.
Yeah, DC Universe, I'm sorry.
Oh, DC stays losing. Stays losing! Eclectic, we're shouting you out. But yeah, I mean, I read this, got to the end, and I was very nonplussed by the whole thing. I was like, really? This is what's happening now? This is the whole point? So, you know, spoiler alert. Mazas!
Yes.
Figure it out, peoples.
Mazas. Let's see, something else to bring up.
Let's quickly review.
I guess another number one from Marvel, Wolverine and the X-Men.
I actually like this. This was an interesting issue.
Yeah.
It was quirky.
Slightly different tone than the original series.
Definitely. It was just Jason Latour, right?
Yes.
And Mahmoud Asrar. The art, I thought, was actually pretty snazzy.
Art was awesome. Definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah, it definitely had character to it, right?
Yeah. And I like the whole, you know, this is the school on summer break, and Quinn and Quire trying to come to terms with what his possible future may hold.
Right.
But, yeah.
Definitely.
Not sure. Bringing in Phantom X kind of seemed odd, especially how he was left in Uncanny X-Force.
Right. I did agree. I agree with that. I was kind of confused is probably the best word. I was confused as to why Phantom X is even showing up in this book. There's so many X-Men out there. Why on earth do we need Phantom X in this book? Is he showing up in a movie?
Who?
Phantom X.
I guess there's always possibility he could show up in whatever X-Force movie Fox ends up making.
Right.
I like how the Bamps, they're always dressed like whoever they're with. Like the one that was with Wolverine was dressed just like him.
Right.
His hands all taped up and stuff.
Sure.
Thought that was kind of funny. It looks like they've matured a little too. They look more teenagerish.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, but you know, the whole BAMFs thing, they're all varying ages, I guess. But yeah, I guess the ones that we see here in this issue are a little bigger. They seem like beyond toddler now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it might just be the artist's take on the BAMFs. But you know what's funny about this? They continue to use iBoy. And, you know, let me tell you, you know, I'm not a fan of the Fox X-Men movies, but I swear if they put iBoy in one of those movies, I'm walking out. Walking out.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Don't put this past Fox now. Don't put it past them. That's just gross beyond belief, man.
Anything is possible.
Are you quoting Kevin Garnett?
Anything is possible.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right. Let's see. Where are we? Let me throw out something. I did mention in the pre-show before we went on live and before I cut myself off, Uncanny X-Men number 18. The story kind of spoiler alert because our man Tim Dog has not read this book yet. But it fills in some of the gaps that have probably been very noticeable for people who've been reading Uncanny X-Men, all new X-Men, and how they sort of try to fit together. Mm-hmm. So this book definitely fills in some of those gaps. What struck me a lot about this book is, let me see if I can pull up the art, pull up the team, because I was very impressed by the art, but not so much the art itself, but definitely the layouts. Who is this person? Well, it's obviously Bendis on script. So he's filling in a lot of the gaps between this book and all new X-Men. Marco Rudy is on art, and Val Staples is coloring. And, you know, I thought that the layouts in this book at some points were hard to read, to follow. But at other points, I thought were just really creative and did a lot to kind of propel the book forward, the story forward. So when you read this, Tim, you know, I would actually appreciate hearing your thoughts on this, because I kind of thought it was the layouts were just quirky enough to not be distracting but be interesting.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to suffer the same thing like when Fraser Irvin did that. That magic arc where they were in hell.
Oh, it's not that muddy. That was muddy.
Okay.
This is not muddy. This is very, you know, the line art is fairly defined, and it's clearly, you know, it's you know, things are clearly delineated, but you know, I can definitely tell you that the layouts are on the quirky side, and you know, it's right there on the border of being cool but kind of distracting. So I'd like to hear your take on it when you have a chance to read it.
Yeah, I'll probably get to it by tomorrow.
Cool, cool. All right, what else you got?
Let's see here. Got to bring up my new Warriors.
Oh, go ahead.
You find out more about the soldiers that the high evolutionary is using, and you have the misunderstanding between, I forget the Atlantean woman that showed up last issue. Of course, there's a quick little fight between her and Scarlet Spider and Hummingbird, I think her name is, code name okay. is. She's looking for heroes because of what happened underseas.
Okay.
We're introduced to another potential new member, future member of the team, an Inhuman.
Newly transformed Inhuman?
Yeah, he meets Sun Girl. And that's kind of it. You know, just more Justice and Speedball go to the Avengers to use their computer to look up, I guess, the last people that encountered the High Evolutionary, which were the X-Men on Utopia. Mm. Which probably took place in the X-Men comic, I'm sure.
Right.
But you know, El High Evolutionary, he wants to rid the world of impurities, which are anyone that's not a human. So mutants, clones. But, you know, New Warriors continuing. I'm going to keep reading and supporting the book because I love Meet Some New Warriors.
Nice.
And all right. A quick review of Nova. It had a guest artist on, David Baldion.
Okay.
His name. Art still was nice. It's fun watching Nova team up with Beta Ray Bill to go on this intergalactic journey to find Skarn, I think his name is.
Okay. I love Beta Ray Bill. That, you know, that's one reason why I would probably just read this just to see what he's doing in this book.
Yeah. And I've never read anything with Beta Ray Bill before, so I'm getting to experience him.
I definitely would recommend. It's timeless stuff is going back to read the Simons and stuff when he introduces Beta Ray Bill. Going back and reading those trades or reading it digitally, definitely recommend it because it's timeless stuff. It's not dated very much. So I would recommend that. My turn. I'll throw out Captain America number 18. There's definitely a vibe that Remender is trying to get that I think is preparing the readers for Captain America: The Winter Soldier movie, because there's definitely some stuff here, some don't trust S.H.I.E.L.D. Elements and overall motif in the book. You know, again, we have the incredible Dr. Mindbender. Oops, I mean Mindbubble. Exactly. For all the G.I. Joe fans out there, you get that reference. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, conspiracy theory laden book. The art by Nick Klein is passable. It's okay. I'm not sure where Remender is going with this. I'd love to see more of. Happened in this book. There's definitely a lot of action. I don't know if this issue couldn't have been done a little quicker and gotten more into where Dr. Mindbubble is going. I kind of was let down by the whole span of the book. I thought there should have been more to it, but I'm willing to give this a shot because, you know, Cap is one of my characters. I love reading his stories, and it's nice to see Cap. I guess it's like a more modern take on some of his previous stories where he doesn't trust the government. Except now he doesn't trust S.H.I.E.L.D. He's never really trusted S.H.I.E.L.D., especially with Nick Fury. Not plotting, but definitely working behind the scenes and behind closed doors, behind doors that he wouldn't even tell Steve Rogers about. So it's not new stuff, but it's definitely it's kind of interesting to see the modern take, especially in the world we live now, kind of being reflected in this book. So.
Okay.
It sounds a little heavy, right? Sounds like it's a little serious. It's not. It's superhero
sounds
stuff.
Like a recommender.
It does. All right. Oh, did we run through all the books we read this week? Wow.
You have one more left if you want to get to Punisher.
Oh, yes. Thanks for I skipped over because it was early on my list. Punisher number 3. I did not read Punisher number 2, but this got me up to speed very quickly. The team of Edmondson and Gerard's actually work well. As you all know, I'm a fan of their work, the creator-owned work, The Activity, published by Image Comics. Now they're here doing The Punisher and bringing an Activity vibe to The Punisher. There's definitely an action adventure feel. The art is definitely sharp in terms of the action sequences, and the way the Punisher looks when he's firing a gun is far more authentic looking than it has looked in a long time. I'll put it to you that way.
Okay.
The story is definitely moving along. There's There's some intrigue as well as some side stories that are moving. I'm probably going to have to now go back and track down issue number 2 and read that. But I definitely think that if you're a Punisher fan, you don't even have to be a Punisher fan. You can pick this book up and appreciate it. And like I said, if you're into the activity or anything like that, this book especially will appeal to you. Like I said, it's been a long time since you've actually seen drawings of the Punisher firing a gun, and it actually looked, fairly not realistic, but more realistic than some muscle bound guy, holding an M16 and just like shooting it into the corner of the page. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I give Gerard credit for that, for the art. I would recommend that people pick this book up just to see where it's going. I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
As the Punisher in L.A.
Punisher in L.A. taking on a supervillain.
That's right. I won't spoil it.
I didn't say who it was.
That's right. All right. Wow, we actually made it through all our lists. This is what happens when Dirk's not around. Come on, Dirk. I hope everything's all right. I hope you guys make some dough.
Make that dough.
That's right. Wow, we made it through every book. Look at that.
So it's click of the week time.
Click of the week. Oh, I am torn. I enjoyed a bunch of books this week.
Yeah, I was just looking down my list. I guess I'll stick with the one I gave the 5-star review for.
Wow, Starlight?
Starlight.
Nice.
Hopefully I keep enjoying it. That's always the worry.
Nice. Yeah, especially with the number one issue, right?
Yeah.
I am going to go with Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 2. Stick to my gun. Stick to my gut. I definitely enjoyed this book. It just has this great, I think the writers who pick up the torch for young Loki are just having a ton of fun writing the character, and it just comes out. It's exuberant, and that's the fun part, you can sense the joy coming off the page, coming in his dialogue, and that's very cool.
Yeah, I could tell this is gonna be a fun series.
Yep, definitely. So that is my click of the week.
And not sure what our other co-host picks would have been, and I doubt Roddy Cat's tweeting at us throughout the show, but we'll see if he gets the tweet to us before I end the show. But I guess I can start by letting you know, well, reminding you again where you can follow him on Twitter. He is at Roddy Cat. I guess I need to actually start putting these on the posts when I do them too on the website, but at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Dirt is at PCN underscore dirt. And his website is popculturenetwork.com. Agent 70 is at agent underscore 70. I'm at Tim DOGG98 and at the Click Nation. And if you have any suggestions on new Twitter names for me to get that 98 number out of there, I'm open to suggestions.
Really?
That just popped in my mind just now. I've been thinking
no
about
way.
Changing. Every now and then I think about changing it.
Well,
I've had that name so long now, though.
Right. Well, here's the thing. At agent underscore 70 was created specifically for the Comic Book Chronicles.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't hurt to have separate Twitter handles to deal with the separate topics, right?
Right.
Roddy Cat actually is tweeting at us about reminding our loyal listeners and viewers about something. Did you read this?
Yeah, the Marvel Unlimited deal.
Yes.
So for the month of March, you can get Marvel Unlimited for $9.99 or 99 cents.
99 cents.
I don't know if it's just a iOS, if it's just something for iOS devices. The first article I read about on Mashable last week said it was like for iOS users, but now Roddy Cat's saying he thinks it might be a special checkout code, you can put in like SSW99, he believes.
Okay. Dirt put his click of the week on Google Plus. Not sure what mine is, but Moon Knight is a preemptive one. Okay.
So Radicat believes his click of the week is Moon Knight number one, and let's see what Dirt said his was on the Google Plus. As we try to bring it up here, slow. Don't you just love silence on audios?
Yep, absolutely. We're all looking it up. See, that's the thing. We're all looking up the Google Plus page. We're all like, what's going on? What are they talking about?
I don't see his listed, but that's okay. I'm sure it would have been some book that neither one of us read.
How do you know? Maybe his click of the week is Forever Evil number 6. You never know. You know what it is? Now I'm going to look for it. Damn it. Now I'm going to look for it. Here we go.
And you're not going to be able to find it. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's episode of the Comic Book Chronicles. We'll be back next week for another exciting episode. Make sure to check for us Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For Agent_70, I'm Tim DOGG in the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace!